I go to some place where I am not, as I look across the congregation, I don't see very many people I know. And when we were in youth camp, we had Adalia in one of our teams, and I think I remember seeing Christy somewhere and her husband. And but I don't know very many people here this morning. And whenever I go to some place to preach that I'm not familiar with, I always tell them a couple things. Number one, you'll be happy to know that I am not a long-winded preacher. Brother Gray told me many years ago, he said, "Son, let me give you some advice. Never give the mind any more than the seat can handle." And I've tried to keep that advice, and my messages are always 20 minutes or less. And I try to keep it that way, and I'm very strict on that line for myself. Amen. And also, I'm a very compassionate person. I believe in holding the old line. I'm an old-fashioned conservative holiness preacher. Amen. But I love people. And it's not I don't count it my job to come here and straighten anyone out. But I count it an honor to come here and just preach to you what God has laid on my heart. A very simple message this morning that I felt like the Lord had for this message, for this service this morning. And I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture. And it simply says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And that is found in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Before I get into the message, I would like to say that I have known your pastor, Ziggy. I call him Ziggy, excuse me. I call him Ziggy I've known him for probably the better part of 30 years. And Zig and I grew up together and knowing each other way back in Penview days. And you have a fine pastor and his wife coming, except their daughter, Janae. She's a mean girl. Stay away from her. And no, I'm kidding. Her and my daughter are best of friends. And I thank the world of the Ziglers, and you have made a wise choice. And I know that God is going to bless the Ziglers here. Amen. I think a lot of people have this misconception of God. Some people think of God and they have the idea of a God who is only around when you fail, when you fall. Or some idea of God that who always is up in heaven with a baseball bat ready to club you when you do something wrong. But can I tell you, my friends, this morning that is not the kind of God that I'm serving this morning. I'm glad that I'm serving a God who loves us and a God who wants to be our very best friend. Now, if all that you ever preach or teach is a God who's only around and is always going to club you when you fall, that gives the world a misconception of God. But I'm glad that God wants to be our very best friend. My daughter, when she stands up to testify, she's going through that teen stage, you know. How many know what I'm talking about? She's going through that teen stage when she feels, you know, every kid goes through it. But every once in a while, she'll stand up and testify, and she'll say, "I'm glad that I can go to Jesus with anything that's on my heart, and I'm glad I can tell Him anything that's troubling me." And you know, that is for all of us this morning. We can go to God and tell Him anything or everything that's on our heart, and you can rest assured it's not going to get out. He wants to walk with you through every stage of your life, and when it comes that time for you to die, He'll be there to help you cross the Chili Jordan. My brother-in-law went to heaven a few years ago at the age of 46. He had cancer. He had been losing weight for several weeks. They didn't know what was wrong by the time they got him to the University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor. They stopped counting at 63 tumors. They just closed them up and said, "You're full of cancer." Started in his pancreas and went to his liver and then to his lungs. 23 days later, we were at his funeral. And I can remember Steve, my brother-in-law, as he was dying, as he talked about the daughter, he said, "I see a man in a white robe coming to help me. I see a man in a white outfit coming and holding our little daughter that we lost with a miscarriage." You know, that is the kind of God I'm serving. It's not a mean, hateful, spirited God, but it's a God who loves every one of us with an everlasting love. This morning I want to talk to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, I will give you, it is a message of hope. My friends, if our message is not a message of hope, then we have no message. If our message is not a message that gives the world the hope that they need, then this world is going to die and go to hell because we have no message without a message of hope. Now you can tell the world that they're lost. You can tell them that they're on their way to a devil's hell. But unless you show them that they don't have to go to hell, then you have really effectively helped them to go to hell, helped them be lost. If you don't convey to them a message that God has provided a way of escape, then all is vain. Living in this world, in the day that we are living, there are sinners who are constantly feeling pressed down by the weight of their sins. You know what they need? They need for us as holiness people, as Christians, they need for us to go to them and give them this message of hope. They need hope. Now, giving the world hope does not mean that you have to lower your standards. Giving the world hope does not mean that you have to compromise. But giving the world hope does mean that you simply give them the answer that Jesus died to give them life everlasting. I never did cater to this holiness where you're all sour all the time. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time. And my wife, you know, she chides me, you know, as wives are wont to do, you know. And she said, well, sometimes you just, party too much. You know, party in the right way, you know. But she said, sometimes you just joke around too much, and I'm afraid people don't know how to take you. Everything's a joke. I guess I get it from my dad. My dad was a butcher, and he's been a pastor for about 50 years. He's been a meat cutter for 55 years. And he's 72 years old, still working 55 hours a week and doing the Lord's work. And he was that way, and I guess that's where I get it from. But giving the world hope does not mean that you have to be sour all the time. You know, in order for the sinner to come into our churches and to want what we have, they have to like what we want, like what we have. My old friend Paul Lucas, who was one of my best friends in the ministry, used to say, you know, that old drunk that comes and sits in the back of the church and he watches as people testify and they tell all their hospital stories and their woes and all the things that's going wrong. He said that old drunk sitting in the back is saying, you know, if these good people are having this bad a time, there's no sense in me even trying. You know, when we get up to testify, we need to just share what God has done for us and give God all the glory. We don't need to tell all the bad things that are happening because it rains on the just and on the unjust. It doesn't matter where you live, what state of grace you have. Years ago, I remember when the tornado hit Petersburg. We were living in the area. And I remember hearing, not from that church, but someone from another holiness church saying, well, it's a good thing you all were holiness people because the tornado didn't hit you. Let me tell you something. It rains on the just and the unjust. It doesn't matter if you're holiness or not. Sometimes bad things are going to happen to you. And sometimes it just determines how you look at the situation, whose glasses you're looking through. Giving the world hope does not mean you have to compromise. The good news is we have the answer. And I think it's high time that we as the church march into our world and give them that message of hope. Number two, not only is a message of hope, it is a message of help. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of help. Glenn Payne used to sing a song that simply says, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can show somebody where they're traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. Too many Christians have somehow developed the philosophy that it's the end time. The Lord's going to come any day now, and He may. And there's no use even trying, but the Bible does say, occupy till I come. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, just give up and let everything happen like it is. He says, occupy till I come. Now I'm going to tell you something, my friends. The world needs help out of we Christians. If you go to your friends and you preach to them all the time, you're going to fail. If all they ever hear from you is what a bad sinner they are, then you're going to fail. And this is where it gets a little sticky. And you may not agree with me. And if you don't, I just say, as I tell my people all the time, I may say things from time to time that you don't agree with. But if you don't agree, just pray for me and ask the Lord to help me. Okay? But I'm going to say something that I think the church in general, not this church maybe, but the church as a whole needs to hear. And that is this. It's the year 2007. Well, hallelujah anyhow. It's not the year 1957. It is the year 2007. Now, there used to be a day when you could have revival and you stick out a sign and you could just put a sign down there, revival. We have revival coming up with B.J. Walker September the 4th through the 9th. And there used to be a day back in the 50s where you could stick out a sign, revival, and folks weren't doing very much. Now, I realize I'm in the boonies here. And you probably have some time to sit on your front porch in the swing and let it rock back and forth as you watch people go by. I wish it was that way with me. Pray for me. My daughter just went through driver's ed. Well, I need all the prayer I can get. If you want something to keep you up at night and make you fast and pray like you've never before, just send a kid through driver's ed. Dad can have the keys to the car. I saw someone in a Lincoln Town Car come up here. I thought my wife had trailed me here. She's in her other vehicle. It is the year 2007, and there used to be a day when you could stick a sign, revival, and folks would just come in, and many times they'd get saved. But nowadays, that's really not going to happen too much. We have to go where they are and find them. Now, it's not where you just go to them and say, you're a sinner, I know that you need God, you're going to go to hell. But folks, at least where I'm from right now, if folks are going to get right with God, you're going to have to, they're first of all going to have to see some love and attention out of you. A gentleman called me not long ago, and well, actually I called him. His father, his stepfather had died. I was on the way home from a place about a half hour from my home. I called him up on his cell phone. I said, John, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Dan? I said, I'm great. I said, I know your stepdad had died recently, and I just wanted to check up and see how you're doing. And it got quiet all of a sudden on the other end of the cell phone. And he said, Dan, he said, I'd want to thank you for your call. He said, I just want you to know that I'm a hurting person. He said, I don't talk about it a lot. And he said, I'm a very jolly fellow. But he said, just your phone call means a whole lot to me. Every once in a while, I've been in the church and I've looked down and there sits John and Carrie. You know why they come around? Because there's someone who cares about them. There's someone who really genuinely loves them. Too many times we as Christians think it's our job to line everyone else out, you know. Maybe that doesn't happen in Shoals, but where I've been in Detroit, it happens occasionally. When I first went to the church I currently pastor, I had been there about 2 weeks, and I got a phone call that one of the bus kids, or one of the kids that comes in from the neighborhood, wasn't going to come anymore. So I got in my car and I drove right directly to the house. And I said, I just would like to ask you a question. I have just received word that your daughter Sarah is not going to come to our church anymore. And I'd like to know if there's a reason. And this lady looked at me and she said, Pastor, there is a reason. It's because on the way to church, or when she was in Sunday school, someone from your church told her that she wasn't dressed appropriately. I don't know what you'd do in that case. But I went directly back to the church the next Sunday and I said, I have an announcement. It's our job to catch the fish. It's God's job to fillet the fish. I remember the woman here who read a missionary letter, she mentioned a camp that my father was an evangelist at some 25 years ago, maybe 30. Morristown, Ohio, near Athens. I remember down that long aisle, that tabernacle, a man named Jerry came to the altar. My dad had preached a message, and Jerry came down that long sawdust trail to the altar, and he knelt there for quite some time. I remember an old minister kneeling down in front of Jerry, and he said these words. He said, Jerry, he said, you know that if you ever get right with God, you're going to have to take that expensive watch off of your wrist, and you're going to have to take those cigarettes out of your pocket. And I watched as a little kid with intrigue as Jerry took the watch off of his wrist, and he reached in and took the cigarettes out of his pocket and laid them on the altar. It wasn't 5 minutes until Jerry put the watch back on his wrist, took those cigarettes and put them back in his pocket. shook his head, and walked out never to return. And I want to say something that is extremely profound. God doesn't need our help to line people up. Now, I don't know if you need this or not, but it's free of charge. God is able to line people up. I remember years ago in our church in Michigan when God brought in a Roman Catholic woman who had never been in a hole in his church in all of her life. And she had all the trappings of the world on. And I remember Sister Stanley just started walking in the light and asking questions. And she would ask the pastor, my dad, something. And he would say, well, what is God telling you? She said, well, Pastor, I noticed that no one in your church wears a wedding ring. And I'm the only one in the church with a wedding ring on. And we, my husband, is it wrong? And my dad would say, well, what's the Lord telling you? Well, she said, well, I'm asking you. He said, well, it's not my job to tell you. It's God's job to tell you. If he wants you to take it off, if I tell you to take it off, when I resign, when I leave Michigan, you may put it back on. But if God tells you, it's light for eternity. You see, my friends, this gospel message is a message that helps. It's a message of help. It is the year 2007. The methods of 50 years ago may not be the best methods, and sometimes they may be. But we're going to have to go to where they are. Hosea 13:9 says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me, that is in God, in me is thy help. Last of all, this morning I'll give you the third point, a message. It is a message of healing. It is a message of hope. It is a message of help. And it is a message of healing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to those who are blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. My friends, we're living in a hurting world. We're living in a day when folks all around us are hurting from the effects and the results of their sinful lives. And they need us to go and offer them this healing message. Too many times when folks in the church start to hurt and someone falls, it becomes a talking point. But you know, we all need to act as the body of Christ. I remember when my brother-in-law passed away, I was the pastor of the church where I've been for 9 years. And I remember as I just requested prayer for our family, I looked back and saw Patty Hartkoff, just tears streaming down her cheeks. And then I started to look around the church. And as I was just simply requesting prayer for our family during this traumatic time, just folks all around the church were wiping tears off of their cheeks. And I thought to myself, you know, this is exactly what the body of Christ is supposed to be. When the head hurts, the foot hurts. When the arms hurt, the other parts of the body hurt. When one member of the church is hurting, the rest of the church is hurting. That is exactly how the body of Christ ought to be. Can I say something to you, my friends? The church ought to be the safest place on the face of the earth. Too many times it becomes a war zone. But it ought to be a safe place where we can come and bring our burdens to the foot of the cross and leave them there. We're living in a hurting world. In this world, my friends, they need a message of healing. When someone falls, don't kick them while they're down. Don't join in about the gossip that goes around about them. Don't do anything to further injure them, but go to them. It wasn't so long that a pastor that I had grown up knowing fell into moral failure. He had done a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. He messed up his reputation for a long time. I don't know what you would have done. He was a good friend of mine. And I tried to call him, and he wouldn't answer the phone. I called the next day, no answer. I called the next day, no answer. By the time I finished calling, I had called his house 17 times. Finally, he answered. He didn't even say hello. He said, you're not going to give up, are you, Plemons? I said, no, Tim, I'm not giving up because you're my friend. And I want to know if there's anything I can do to help you. He said, you're the first one who's offered help. My friends, the world needs people who really care. The church needs people who really care. When they're hurting, when they fall into failure, the Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. But too many times we take that word restore and we insert the word replace. But that's not the way it's supposed to happen in the church. Can I make a statement that's really needed in this day? Most Christians need to learn what Christian love is all about. When Jesus came into this world, He didn't come to punish the sinner. He didn't come to mock at those who had fallen. He came to preach the gospel to those who needed it. Jesus came to give us hope, help, and healing. Amen. Thank you so much for your kind attention this morning. Whenever I come to church to preach and I look out and see faces, I'm always shocked. And I thank you so much for your kind attention. You've been a beautiful, wonderful congregation. Amen. Shall we stand?